From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is no one. And alongside me on my other side is no one. In fact, I'm not at the WJOB studios. And in fact, this is probably the first normal episode of Bob After Dark I've had in several weeks. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob. And because everybody else seemed to be doing other things, and because he was my 786th pick of who I could have to co-host Bob After Dark, everybody, I want to introduce to you somebody you probably should know, my podcast Yoda, Patrick, the co-host of Ghostly Podcast, who is going to be teaming up with me for this week's episode. Hi, Pat.
Hey, I'm Pat, and I'm that, and I can skittity scat.
That was something. I'm very proud of you for being able to
improv.
We were just talking about your improv training before we came live.
Yeah, and I am in my 70s cabin right now, so everybody get used to it.
All right, Pat, for like the three people that don't know who you are from Ghostly, can you describe what Ghostly Podcast is, please?
Yes, Ghostly Podcast is a podcast that comes out bi-weekly, and we debate ghost stories. Most recently, we just did an episode with Bob Anderson from Bob After Dark. I think you know him. And it was about microclimates. Also, Nick Mataragas from Freak of the Week was on there as well.
Does he host that show?
Maybe. I don't know. It's very strange.
I hear he hosts that show. That Dr. David Hickney is an interesting disguise.
Well, you'd have to take that up with him because he denies that. So.
So tell me, other than what's been going on with Ghostly, tell me what's been going on with you. How have you been doing during this whole ordeal?
Yeah, so I've been sitting at home working my butt off while everyone else is, you know, taking a little sabbatical and stuff.
Because I take that personal.
Well, I work for IT, so.
Sure, so you're not going anywhere.
No, during a time when people are working remotely, I'm four times busier than I usually am. So, yeah.
Well, I would like to real quick also inform everybody that's watching on the live stream before this goes to podcast version. If you could share the video amongst your friends and colleagues, that'd be great.
That would be awesome.
If this is your first time ever listening to us on podcast land, make sure you leave us a review on the Apple Podcast. I read all of the reviews that come in. Make sure you leave a 5-star because that's what rustles my jimmies and makes me a very happy Bob. So I please leave a nice review on the Apple. In fact, I'd like to read my newest review I just got from Maddie B. He says, Bob is very intelligent. The show is quick-witted, and they present things of the paranormal that I had no idea about. So I just want to give a quick shout-out to Maddie B., the newest Apple reviewer. So if you'd like to get a shout-out on Bob After Dark, now is your time for that.
You know, I think all those things that he said are very true.
Oh, that's very sweet, Pat. Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're an awesome host.
I'm just Bob.
I mean, even though you're a believer, you know.
Oh, that's right. You're not a believer, Pat.
No, I am hashtag team skeptic.
Is that your role on Ghostly?
That is my only role on Ghostly, yeah.
So if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark or listening to on podcast land, that's different from the normal rules. How Bob After Dark works is we talk a little bit about some spooky news of the week. Pat and I do not inform each other what we're talking about so we can get a raw opinion of each thing. And then we move on to what I like to call the lore of the week, where we talk about weird, spooky, unusual legends, lore, supernatural types of things. So without further ado, Pat, since you're my guest, would you like to go first?
Yeah, actually, let me share my screen because I have a very interesting article that I found, and I found it on oddityCentral.com, which is one of my favorite sites.
I love Oddity Central. A lot of my news I get from Bob After Dark actually comes from Oddity Central.
Wow. So I was going to share one. There is a woman that actually hates water, and she made herself dehydrate because she hates water. And she went to the ER. But you know what? I wanted to go with this. The world's smallest bird lays its eggs in a nest the size of a quarter. So this is a bee hummingbird. And it is roughly the size of a bee. For those people that are listening in podcast land, there is what appears to be a very small hummingbird. And it is found in Cuba. And it's extremely small. In fact, a lot of times people actually think it's a bee. And I thought that this was really interesting because I've never heard of this. It is actually caused by island dwarfism because they were secluded. They didn't have to grow as much. So if you believe in evolution, which I hope you do.
that's where I draw the line. I'm a believer in everything but that science stuff.
Right, that darn science. So it evolved differently because it was on the island. And I just thought it was really kind of cute, and I never say cute.
Except when you see pictures of me, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time, all the time.
That's interesting. So that is very, very tiny bird.
It is, yeah. It's the smallest bird known to man.
You know, you could be into, you don't have to be into the paranormal to really find like nature to be very strange and weird, which is why I really like sharing these types of stories on Bob After Dark, because if you look around you, the world is weird enough without talking about like ghost cryptids and demons and et cetera, et cetera. You could find some very weird things on the planet with zero like effort. And this thing right here is, in my opinion, horrifyingly weird.
Well, I just thought that in Cuba, you know, if you happen to get an orb picture, it might actually be a bee hummingbird or a microclimate.
Or some dust on your lens that you forgot to clean off.
Probably that, yeah.
So that's my take. And this next story, I have actually two of them. Ooh, my one story is actually coming from a viewer, viewer's listen, and that is my friend James Fan from Peoria. James shared with me a story about a certain band. Maybe you've heard of them, the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. Are they from the 70s?
No, they're from like the late 90s, early 2000s into now. In fact, I couldn't tell you when the first Foo Fighters album came out, but I digress.
Yeah.
You know, frontman Dave Grohl played in a band once. Maybe you heard of them. They were called Nirvana.
Nirvana?
Nirvana.
I don't know. Sounds kind of weird to me. I don't know.
Oh, they wore flannel and they, you know, they were kind of revolutionary in the early 90s.
Who wears flannel nowadays? Come on. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I wear a lot of flannel.
I wear flannel too. When I'm not wearing Hawaiian shirts for Bob After Dark.
I actually really like your shirt. I thought it was.
Thank you. Thank
I thought they were ink blots because on my camera, it's not like that well lit. So I'm like, are you wearing a Rorschach shirt?
No, they're like flowers.
They're palm trees or whatever. I see that now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought they were ink blots like a Rorschach test. But moving on. So Dave Grohl is working on the new album with the rest of the Foo Fighters when there were certain delays that were going on. Because of ghosts.
Oh, because of ghosts. Okay.
Yeah. So Dave and the team went to a recording studio that was kind of a makeshift studio in California that was a house that was about to be sold. And when they got there, Dave goes on record by saying the energy in the place seems to be off. The original article from Rolling Stone is a little bit more colorful, but we're a family show, so I'm just kind of playing along.
Yeah, right.
The energy seemed to be off, and weird things started happening. And I want your input on this because you're an actual musician, and I am not, so I'm not sure how some of this stuff works. Dave said they would set down their guitars at the end of the night, and they would come back down in the morning to start recording again, and their guitars were completely out of tune. He said they would be setting up certain sounds on boards for them to be completely wiped. He said that they would record complete things on studio tools for the
Pro Tools.
Pro Tools, thank you. Pro Tools. They would have recordings up on Pro Tools for it to be just wiped. There were recordings on Pro Tools that they didn't record. And at one point they got curious and they started setting up a microphone in an empty room in order to kind of catch whatever they can. I guess Dave was being an amateur paranormal investigator and trying to capture his EVPs. I see your face there. You're looking to burst. But back off. Hold on.
All right.
So Dave says after a while, things were just getting really out of hand. So we approached a guy they were renting this space for that they were setting up for the studio. And Dave said he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement saying where he was at, what was going on. But apparently the reason why this guy was trying to sell the home was because it was severely haunted. And that's okay. Where the story ends.
Huh. That's
hashtag Patrick's take.
Okay. Well, I probably won't be as clever as Panic, but that's as a debatable. Musician,
yes. Yeah. I want to know your as a musician stuff. That's very important.
As a musician, I can tell you that my guitar hardly ever stays in tune. In fact, I am more surprised when it does. And I have a pretty high-end guitar. I mean, not as high-end as Dave Grohl would have. So that, to me, doesn't really say much. What was the name of that album that he was recording?
Oh, geez. I'm not too sure. It just says the title.
I believe
album.
It was called Ghost.
Oh, there you go.
The name of the album is Ghost. I don't know. Just putting it out there. I'm going to say that. You know,
so my question to you is why, what does Dave Grohl gain from, if the story's not true, right? What does Dave Grohl gain by not sharing the actual, like, why, what does he gain from lying about it? What does he gain from making the story up is what I want to ask you before we continue, because I've been dying to pick your brain because we shared the story on Ghostly.
We did. Yeah. We
briefly talked about it.
But I'm not allowed to debate it though, when it's listener mail. So
you could debate here. I don't care.
Okay. You want me to go all out debate?
You could tone it down.
Okay, tone it down a little bit.
You can tone it down, but I'm just really curious what he gains by sharing the story or like coming up with the story. What does he gain? Because it's not like he came up with a fantastical background for the ghost. It's not like he gave us the name of the spirit haunting it. It's not like he said he was being touched, scratched, or bruised. Things that would make the story a little bit more interesting, I guess. It's just the bare minimum we were haunted, and that's what took us so long. Either really fantastical excuse, or it actually happened, or maybe they thought it was actually happening.
So what I'm going to say about that is that, first of all, he is a millionaire.
Okay.
Millionaires have nothing better to do than to mess with the normal people. And that's what he's doing. He's just having fun. He's being cool. He's, you know, getting people interested to check out his stuff. That's my take on it.
That's, you know, fair.
And science makes a lot more sense in this than does paranormal for me, that he named the album Ghost. I wonder if he came up with that before he went into the studio to record.
I mean, it's possible, right?
It is possible.
So the guitar's going in and out of tune. You've experienced that.
Yes.
But how do you explain the random recordings on it's Pro Tools, right?
Pro Tools, yeah.
Yes. How do you explain, have you ever used Pro Tools before we start? Have you ever used that program? So how do you explain how things go, how they could record things, and then there's recordings there that they didn't do? How do you explain that?
First of all, I'm going to explain the recordings that they didn't do that were there, and that's that record, and they didn't realize they were doing it. The other part of it, I mean, is the same for everything. It's just tech problems. I work in IT. And I could tell you this, there's going to be problems. They should probably restart their system.
How do you explain this, the board situation?
Have you ever done work on a soundboard?
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm getting your input. I'm not trying to...
Oh, yeah. Trying to lead me into something here?
No, this is me legitimately asking your input.
Yeah, I've worked on soundboards before. I remember doing a sketch show with a Memoriam Development, which is a theater company I belong to.
It's my podcast network.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I was in charge of doing sound, and I had all these keys mapped out on my keyboard to make things easy and cool, and it would start one and stop another. It would do all kinds of things, and they didn't work at all when I got there. They worked at home, but didn't work when I got there. So I don't think that place was haunted. It's just tech. Tech isn't always 100%.
I guess as a believer, I have to ask you for your skepticism point of view. How many coincidences can keep going until you just being like, maybe there's something going on here? Because there seemed to be a lot of problems going on.
There were a few, and the guitar's going out of tune. I would totally discredit that because that happens all the time, and that's just silly nonsense. But, you know, the Pro Tool stuff, yeah, that's odd. And you add in soundboard problems, okay, that's a little odd. Those are two problems. When you're recording a album for that kind of money, you have a lot of tech, a lot of tech involved. And we're talking millions of dollars worth of stuff to record this album. I would say that there's a good chance that they didn't interact and play nicey-nice with each other.
That's fair. I will completely take that. And I appreciate your input. If anybody has any other questions for Pat, you could definitely chime in on the chat and let us know. We'd much appreciate that. I'm keeping up on the chat as much as I can. Do you have another story? I do not.
That was all I had.
I have two this week.
All right.
So this one's a little older of a story, but there's breaking news developing about it. So they found a crypt that is see-through in nature. Do you know what I mean by that? Like they
lay transparent.
Yeah, they leave not the corpse itself, but the grave is like transparent up top, so you could look in and see the corpse.
Okay, you got it.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So there was one somebody found recently that they were cleaning up some area, and they found a piece of see-through, and they saw a cadaver, and they're like, well, that's kind of weird. Wow. So they start clearing off the top part, and it was under a lot of debris. As they moved up, this group of people, they found a clown, a man in clown's makeup wearing a fez.
Oh, okay. That's pretty interesting. So he was dead.
He was dead. He's been dead for a very long time. And apparently he is, after doing some research, it was a 104-year-old body of a famous clown. And they're calling it probably one of the most ironic mummies they've ever found. And it is now on display at the California Institute of the Abnormal Arts in North Hollywood.
Wow. And that's so they, odd.
Yeah. They dug up the corpse. They're like, oh, what the hell is this thing? And they didn't know what to do. So eventually they were trying to figure it out because this body wasn't, I guess, supposed to be there. And they decided to uplift him and move him over. The museum said, we'll take him. And now he has a permanent home. And apparently this clown was very, very famous back in his day. They don't know the name, but they've seen his pictures pop up other places. And I got to give whoever embalmed him credit because he doesn't look bad. Like you would think,
oh, wow,
for your old corpse, he would, you know, basically be in... there'd be nothing left, but he looks pretty good. The makeup still stands, and they were able to find the old pictures, and they think his name was Achille Chatouille, which I'm not French. I don't speak French. I apologize to my French audience. Achille and then C-H-A-T-O-U-L-L-E-U.
Well, try saying wee wee in front of that, and it usually helps me. Wee wee, enchanté.
Well, here's what here's the freaky part. His stage name translates to the French tickler, who was said to have died in 1866 of kidney inflammation. Died of kidney inflammation.
Wow. Well, he got the last laugh, didn't he?
Doo-doo-tsh. there's the Pat's take before I could even ask.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really, really impressed that whoever mummified, but you know, they took care of the body. They did a really good job. Cause I mean, when you're that long in a decomposition, there's nothing left. And the fact that he was preserved to the point where you could still see his clown makeup, that's pretty good.
You know, here's an interesting thing. You said that was in the 1860s.
Yes.
That was when embalming really became popular in the United States. So it was already around Europe. So probably 20, 30 years that they've been embalming at that point. And they didn't get the chemicals right until way after that. Like Abraham Lincoln was overly embalmed. And his, like they toured around with him for a very long time and he was perfectly preserved. So
that's really weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. I had no idea.
But you weird, know, wild stuff.
You could probably find out more about that on the Abraham Lincoln episode of Ghostly.
Oh, well, the embalming part, yeah, but not about the clown that's in a transparent sarcophagus, right?
Casket.
Casket, maybe, yeah.
There's the – this reminds me, have you ever seen the famous dead girl.
Dead girl? Stop, I've seen a lot of them.
No, she's a cadaver, died a very, very, very long time ago, and they preserved her in one of these transparent casket deals, and she's perfectly preserved. There is not one thing wrong with her. Have you ever seen that before?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure exactly who you're talking about.
It's a little girl and I can't remember exactly the point of origin for it. Like off the top of my head, I've seen it a couple times. Either one of these stories probably relates to something else. They either found her in the French catacombs like that, or they found her underneath a cathedral. And I think I'm leaning towards a cathedral.
Wow.
So they found her and her body dates back a very long time, and there is nothing wrong with her. When you look at her cadaver now, which a lot of people go and they think is some sort of, you know, miracle, they consider, you know, potential angelic or something, right? Some people believe that, you know, they go there, they make their praise or whatever, but she looks almost like a baby doll. It's so bizarre.
And did they find her because they found her ruby slippers outside of the cathedral that had fallen on top of her?
Oh, Pat, so no, that's what it reminds me of. But and this clown obviously is in some form of decomp, but he still looks pretty good. And I'll share that on the Facebook page when I get a moment. Trigger warning on that though. Definitely you're looking at a cadaver. So it's not the coolest thing in the world, I guess. Or unless you get off to enjoy looking at cadavers. Some people find that very fascinating. I am not one of those people.
I am not one either. In fact, I have a fear of dead bodies.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, are you afraid they're going to come up and break your skepticism?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to reach up to you and be like, Pat, there is an afterlife. And I'm like, everything I knew was wrong.
I don't know if I ever told you this story. I don't know if we have time for me to.
Oh, you have time. Go ahead. You're fine.
All right. So I used to work in a hospital and I was doing security. And me being me, I was hitting on a nurse in the ER room.
Of course.
And you were. Or no, she was in ICU, excuse me. And she called me up one day to ask if I would take this body downstairs to the morgue, which was, you know, I had keys to the morgue being security. And I said, yeah, of course, of course. And I got up there and, you know, she's like, okay, well, you know, do you want me to ride the elevator with you? I know how afraid you are of dead things. And I was like, what are you, me, afraid? No, I got this. And I pushed the body on the elevator, and there was barely enough room for me and this body on this tiny elevator. And the elevator started going down, and as it did, the leg kicked up, and I screamed like a little girl. And needless to say, I never got a date with the ICU.
I was going to ask how the ICU, how'd that go for you, Pat?
I didn't talk to her again the rest of my life.
And that is why you now work where you're at now doing IT, because your dead body handling in IT is probably very bare minimum than working in a hospital.
Yeah, very minimal. Very
minimal. Yeah. All right, so you ready to dive into the lore of the week, Pat?
Man, I was born ready.
I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, so we're talking this week about hitchhiking ghosts.
Oh.
Or known to ghost story writers, the vanishing hitchhiker.
Known to skeptics as the vanishing hitchhiker.
Is that known in your skeptic circles too?
It is known in the skeptic circle, yeah. Yes, it is.
I am not a member of the skeptic circles. I'd like to be.
You want me to invite you?
Yeah, I'd like to see what they have to say about me. Do you guys have like secret meetings where you dress up in robes and just be like, nothing?
Actually, we sit around and eat s'mores.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and tell stories about when we used to eat bacon. You know, it's fun. It's fun stuff.
All right, so in fashion, because I have you on the show, and just like the Tooth Fairy, I wanted to pay homage to my favorite podcast, Ghostly. I wrote a little ghost story.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Okay. It was a dark and stormy night. Man, I always wanted to use that line. Huh. And you were driving home down what appears to be a very near abandoned road, when out of the side of your eye, you see a womanly figure dressed in white. She is standing waving you down. You become the Good Samaritan, and you pull over, roll down your window, and ask if she is okay. Her story is that her car broke down. Her home is not too far away. You talk her into giving her a ride and find out that her name is Susan. Susan mentions how she had a rough night and appreciates the gesture that you have given. You get her to her home. She gets out and thanks you and seems to walk up to a house. You turn and look in the back seat real quick and notice that she left behind a scarf. You don't see any sight of her, but you did notice the basic direction she went into. You get out of the car, head over to her house to give her back the left behind scarf. Knocking on the door, an old man answers. You apologize for bothering him, but you think a girl named Susan lives here, as he just gave her a ride home. He stares at you wide-eyed and tells you that she has been dead for 5 years. Now, I'm sure a story like this is very common trope in the ghost story world, and I'm sure you may have heard many, many variants to the story, but little did you know that I just made this one up off the top of my head.
What?
Now, curiosity got the better of me as I started researching this episode, and I found there are many different encounters of these hitchhiking ghosts. My curiosity lies in the idea if I'm able to create a hitchhiking ghost story in the form of Susan, can other people? And if these are actual cases of things, can ghosts actually interact with us on this kind of level? Or is it indeed a possibility that you could pick up a ghost, drive them somewhere, and for them not to exist? Or is everybody out there telling the same story, just making it up with different variants? What'd you think of the story?
I thought the story was very good. I was almost believing it. You almost had me.
But tell me, have you ever heard that before? The whole
yes.
Girl, and I picked out the name Susan. I picked out her wearing white because I knew you were coming on. And the scarf, just because that's the common stories, right? And that's such a deep-rooted thing in my mind about these ghost stories, right? And it even kind of dates to probably the most famous of these, maybe even Resurrection Mary, because the whole idea that he went back and come to find out she was dead. But I wanted to dig up three different encounters, and I did, from all over the world. I have two in America and one in Mexico. And I want to compare the different stories and how they react to one another. What's the similarities? what's the differences? And then I wanted your input on them. Obviously, I know your answer that you're going to give. But if a ghost or ghost exists, which I believe they do and you do not, do ghosts have these abilities? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight on War of the Week. So my first story is called The Mysterious Burnt Floorboards.
Ooh.
The story takes place back in February of 2018. And before I begin, I am not Hablo Espanol. I will butcher this horribly, so I apologize for my Spanish-speaking fans, but I cannot. So the gentleman in question we're talking about is Pedro Perón, a worker in the oil field drilling business. He was driving his truck one night on his way home from on Route 92 from Arteaga to San Jose de la Escuena in Santa Fe, when out of the corner of his eye, he saw a young man who looked to be about 17 with his thumb out. Perro says that hitchhiking is still very common practice where he is, and he has picked up young men like this before. The kid had garments similar to those that go to the local industrial school. He asked me to take him down to the crossroads by the old cemetery and said he didn't live too far away from that. As soon as he got into the truck, he realized that the young man was very not talkative, and he seemed very distant. When they approached the cemetery and he got out of the truck, Piero says he smelled something almost like it was on fire. He looked down at the floorboard and he didn't see anything because maybe he thought he lit a cigarette or something and threw it out on the ground. He looked up and the boy was gone, but he couldn't get rid of that smell. He said his truck was almost kind of smoldering. So he got out of the truck, walked over to the side, picked up his little rubber like floor mat, and on there were burnt footprints into the floor, like the little rubber paneling. Local news station where he's at that, you know, showed the whole thing. And he said as he was looking at it, there was no fire, but it's weird that it just burned a hole into it. Wow. He called the local police to see what they could have done. And when they arrived, there was no footprints leading away from his truck. And they live in a pretty rural area. So there would probably see some trace of a young man walking around, and there was nothing. And they decided to go back and look through the security footage around the area that he picked up the young man, because he was right by like a warehouse or something, mm-hmm. or the school. Mm-hmm. And they saw the truck pull up. They saw the window roll down, but there was nobody there. And in the security cam footage, they saw the door, the truck open and close, but nobody was there. Hmm. So the news station went and asked some of Pedro's neighbors what they thought about it. And apparently Pedro is a very devout Catholic and a very respectable member of his community. And they say there is no reason for him to lie. So why lie? There's no reason for it. I just want to thank Paul Seaborn with the Mysterious Universe for reporting on the story back in 2018. I've seen the video of the floor mats of his truck, and they kind of look more like really refined, muddy footprints. And my question is, if they were supposed to be fire, wouldn't they have just straight up like melted right through the floor, like the rubber thing into the floorboard, and caused more problem than what it was? So seeing the footprints on the floor mat, it was just a very strange sight to be seen.
Wow. I've never heard this story.
It was from Mexico, and it was definitely a very interesting thing. I'm curious to hear what your take on that is, Pat, being Mr. Skeptic.
Have you ever heard of ghosts having any similar powers as this?
Not ghosts, demonic.
Demonic, okay.
That's a really strange ability for a normal spirit to have.
Yeah, but it's always funny to me that the people that see demons are the people that believe in demons. You know, it always seems ironic. That's my first inkling that, you know, maybe something is up, and he was a devout Catholic. And,
right.
I mean, especially a devout Catholic from Mexico, they would have some influence.
Sure. So. And that's a good point, because I mean, they're, for the most part, if you're a devout Catholic down there, I mean, you are God fearing. Like they don't mess around. Yes. You're at church every Sunday. You're, you know, you're doing everything in your power, you know, day in and day out to serve. I know.
Well, we're assuming. I mean, that's
no, of course,
that's stereotypical, but I mean, still, I mean,
I grew up, in I would imagine. So I get it. Yeah. I mean, if you're a devout Catholic, that's what you're doing. It's it. And the footprints themselves, like I said, he walked over to his truck. He pulled them out for the camera and the footage. And it was really weird because they didn't look, they kind of looked, like I said, like a muddy footprint that you couldn't wipe away, you know, like wipe away the markings. So, you know, being the believer I am, you kind of have to rule things out, right? If this if he was trying to explain the footprints in the truck, maybe Pedro was doing the things he wasn't supposed to be doing. I'm not one to make assumptions, but maybe that's why he would lie about it, but they were definitely like, they weren't like normal footprints. They were literally like burn marks.
So in the video, did you see the video at all?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now were they smoldering?
No, this was after the fact. So it was, you know, the news crew took him out to the spot by the cemetery where he left him out. And he told the story, I guess it's all in Spanish.
But didn't you say there was security cam footage? There was.
They did show. Okay. They didn't show the security cam footage, but he does.
Gotcha.
They do talk to the police in the interview, and the police say they saw the footage of the car door open and close.
Well, you could do that from inside too, but I mean, I'm not trying to just discredit everything. It's a very interesting story, and I take a lot of value from these things, even though I'm a skeptic. I enjoy a good ghost story.
Well, that's
and that good. was a really good one too, and I'll share
the article with you after this is done, and I'll definitely put up the video for you guys to check out on the Facebook page. Awesome. Just keep in mind when you're watching the YouTube watching the YouTube clip from the news station, it is all in Spanish. There is no subtitles, so you are going to have to use your context clues, and it's kind of humorous. You could really tell this guy is well liked in his community because everybody drove by was like beeping and honking at him and waving, and he would turn around and he'd wave at everybody driving by and like their tractors and stuff. So that was kind of funny. But he gets out and this guy looks scared, horrified when he goes to his car and he pulls out the mat and he's pointing. And like I said, it's not mud. It looks like fire, but it's strange to me because if it's a rubber mat, man, if you put heat to that thing, it's going to melt straight through. And it's going to, you know, mess up the rug, but it didn't. It just left the footprints.
Well, here's something I find really interesting about that is that you brought up a lot of key points to the Vanishing Hitchhiker stories in your story, in your ghost story. But this didn't have those key elements that I look for, like, you know, that you went to the parents' house. There was a photo on a piano. It's always on a piano for some reason.
Or a mantle. You
know? Or a mantle, yeah. And, I mean, that's just a very common one. It's very interesting to me that this didn't have any of those key elements. And I was prepared just to argue key elements, so
this one's going to be a field day for you, my next one.
Oh, nice. Is there a woman in white in it, too?
Lydia is the story of a young lady who was told to haunt the Jamestown Bridge in North Carolina. Story says that she was on her way to prom when her and her date crashed off the bridge, causing her to die. The story goes on that she died in her white prom dress.
Oh.
And to this day, motorists still see Lydia wandering the roads by the bridge looking for a ride to the dance. And she is a ghostly figure of a woman in white. And the big thing is she tries to flag down motorists, only to disappear if someone starts to interact with her. The downside of this story is historians have searched high and low, trying to find history of a news article of a girl named Lydia who died, and they did not turn up any such thing. They did turn up an article in the Greensboro Patriot from 1920 that tells the story of a young lady named Annie Jackson who was on her way to a dance with a date when she died. So people believe that if there is a spirit haunting that those roads and trying to pick up a ride, it might be this Annie Jackson. No one knows where the history of Lydia comes from. the name it Lydia?
Well, it comes from the same part that Resurrection Mary comes from.
This story out there is pretty massive, and This sounds like North Carolina's Resurrection Mary.
Yeah, and I think a lot of areas have this same kind of story. The first vanishing hitchhiker story that they have found is actually in the Bible.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's been around for a very long time, and I think in that story, Jesus went and he saw a picture on a piano, and that's how he knew that it was that's how he knew it was a ghost, you know?
Jesus approached, and they're like, Ezekiel's been dead for 20 years, and Jesus looks, he's like, that's Ezekiel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's which version of King James is that, Pat?
I think it's the third. King James the third, yep. But no, so, I mean, a lot of these are based on folklore, and a lot of these, and I find folklore to be very fascinating, you know, just the legends that people talk about and stuff. And even if you believe in it or you don't, I still find value in these kind of things. They're just something interesting to talk about. I like that little tinge of, you know, fear that I have when I think of something like this. But I mean, seriously, I did a lot of research on the Resurrection Mary story, and
I think most of us have that are in the paranormal that live in Chicago. The story is a rabbit hole, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I could find no connection to a Mary that would have been in that time. And you're going to give me like three names, and all of them, there's a problem with them if you really look at it. So so to me, is it the name that discredits the story? And, I thought it did to me, but my co-host Rebecca argued that that didn't mean anything to her, that I discredited the whole Mary idea. So there's something, she said, still out there.
I'm going to go with her. There's got to be something there.
Well, there doesn't have to be, but, I mean,
I guess not. Hey, Pat, do you want to take a quick water break so maybe we can cut to a commercial during podcast land?
Yeah,
let's do that. Let's just take a quick sip of water, guys. Live feed, stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. We're back.
We're back. Wow, that was quick.
Man. That was a quick, it was time travel. What'd you do during time?
I feel so rested, actually, now.
I wanted to break there because this next story you're going to have probably even more of a field day with.
Okay. Are there orbs in this story? Is that what you're telling
no,
me?
No, okay. But every trope you could possibly think of for the vanishing hitchhiker
is
in this one. And this story is called The Dancing Ghost.
Ooh.
In a small city of Toksville, Kentucky, two young men are on their way to a dance party when they spot a girl walking around on the road in a party dress. They stop and they ask if she would like to attend the dance with them, which I think was really strange. We'll get to that in a moment. And when the dance was over, the young man offered to take her home, and she insists on dropping her off at home. It was pouring outside, and one of the boys let her wear his coat, saying that he could pick it up at a later time. After dropping her off, the boys returned a few days later, and they approached the home. An older woman answered the door and said the girl they are looking for has been dead for a long time, for it was her daughter. She told them where they could find the grave, and lo and behold, the boys went to the grave, and guess what they found next to her tombstone?
Oh, I don't even want to guess, Bob. Just tell me.
It was the boy's jacket.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is...
I told the stories in order, right? Because the first one is the strange one out of The Vanishing Hitchhiker. The second one has some tropes. The third one goes completely off, right? That one tells the story 100%. Like, this one here is everything about The Vanishing Hitchhiker story.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If there's so many similar stories in so many different areas, does that discredit the story at all to you? Does that discredit the idea of Resurrection Mary to you? I know you've done a lot of interesting investigations where you had some results, but is that Resurrection Mary? Is that the one that was hitchhiking? You know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for you.
But does it discredit? Does it make you feel a little bit less, like it's less believable to you?
I will tell you that researching this episode really surprised me. I did not expect to find as many hitchhiking ghost stories as I did. Wow. I expected when I first started coming up with the concept for this episode, I'm like, I'm going to find Resurrection Mary and I'm going to have to tell that story again. I know there was the famous, the Phantom Hitchhiker on Route 66 that saved that guy's life. They based the Twilight Zone episode on that. Yep. I figured I would have to talk about that. And I'm like, well, everybody knows that one. And lo and behold, I found three very unique stories. And I mean, there are people out there that like catalog these ghost stories.
Yeah.
Specifically of hitchhiking and the vanishing hitchhiker story, right? It blew my mind. So to answer your question about does it help discredit it, I would say yes and no. Yes, and the fact is, you know how many ghost stories there are in general? Does that discredit me believing in ghosts? Not so much.
But if they were all similar and they all had the same exact, like, I mean, the
cold
details
spots,
in the story.
Cold spots, knocking on walls. Strange feelings in the home, ghostly whispers, ghostly apparitions. I mean, there's
none of those are that you find a picture on a piano. I mean, come on.
How many of these stories told the picture at a picture on the piano? Maybe.
But how many times have you heard that story though?
I heard, yes.
But I'm just saying it to me, it discredits it a little bit. It makes, you know, once you've heard enough ghost stories, it's like, oh, they're going in this direction. You can kind of see how it's going, you know, the story at least. And whether or not it's true, I'm not even going to say. I'm just going to say you could predict what would be the next thing that happens.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I had a little thing I wanted to write down, and we'll go back and talk a little bit about the different stories. So how's the story and the others possible? A common misconception is that a spirit is bound to the area that they died or had a really big connection to. That would be more of a residual haunting, the idea of a ghost being attached to a specific area or an object. The idea that someone is trapped or something is trapped in that area. Then there's the idea of an intelligent haunting, a spirit that could kind of go where they want and they know they're dead and they interact with those such things. And those spirits are more, like I said, they're more intelligent. Do I think that every hitchhiking ghost story is an intelligent haunting? No. Because the ones where the ghost is able to get in the car and interact, that's definitely more of an intelligent haunting. A story like Lydia, where she's just stuck in that area and is trying to communicate with motorists, but the second that a motorist tries to communicate with her, she just fades, puffs up in the smoke.
Yeah.
That's probably more of a residual. Now, do I believe that every Phantom Hitchhiker story is truth? Probably not. I don't know. I wanted your opinion on that. So I know you're a skeptic, and I know where you're going to lie, and I know your answer that you're going to give me. But in the story of Pedro, without knowing the facts until I can actually send you this over so you can get a chance to look, how do you plausible argue that story? Like, how does a skeptic argue that?
Well, I mean, as we found out in the last Ghostly, I'm not a hardcore skeptic. Right. I guess I am skeptic light, as you
sure, that's,
you called me.
Yes.
So I was once a believer. I really did. I really believed a lot. And to me, does it make a difference that I'm a skeptic when we both have a love for these kind of stories?
Absolutely not.
I love them for this, for the storytelling aspect. You love them because they could have some paranormal significance. So a Pedro one, I mean, I could explain everything except for the footprints. And I don't know. I wonder if he's ever done any roofing or anything. The roofing would explain, like, if he had boots that he wore when he was roofing, that would explain that, you know, that the mat could be burnt a little bit. But that's all I got. I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, I could buy into that because he works as an oil drilling, like, person. So yeah. Assuming maybe there's probably some heat involved with what he's doing. So maybe just maybe he took off his boots at the end of the day and threw them on the mat. And yeah. He's smoldered.
But I don't, you know, like, here's the thing. I mean, as far as a skeptic goes, I mean, I have a podcast where I debate ghost stories.
Right.
But I do not. Like when people tell me ghost stories, I kind of tell them I'm the wrong person to tell, you know, it's like, why would you, and they're adamant about it. They really believe that these happen and I want to believe them, but I just don't.
That's fair.
I don't typically search for debates and I will typically let people believe what they want to believe as long as it doesn't harm anybody in the process.
Of course.
And in this particular thing, I mean, you said the guy was popular. Maybe he's popular because he's a liar. Maybe he lies.
It's possible.
Maybe he's the town liar. That's what I'm going with.
I had some notes I wanted to talk about the Pedro story in particular. In the story of Pedro, I don't believe that was a normal ghost leaving behind footprints. I truly believe that was I have never heard of even like the most malevolent, and I'll use the term evil. I don't like to use the term evil to describe anything, but evil spirits, I have never heard of them being able to cause like something like that. There is the story of the have you ever heard the story of the paintings that caused fires, the crying boy?
Oh yes.
Now, see, I've heard of things like that, but I don't necessarily think that's spiritual either. I think that's straight demonic.
And yeah, I don't think ghosts, if they do exist, I don't think they can cause physical harm to anything per se. I believe that would be more on the demonic side,
though. Yes, and I think if this was a demonic entity messing with Pedro, I think it was messing with him because of the devout Catholic thing.
Yes.
We know you went to Catholic school, right? We talked about that
on the past episode before.
You're taught from in that stuff that you are a prime target for these things because the devil likes to kick, you know, the father's following. He likes to kind of try to screw with them a little bit more because he finds pleasure in it. And I'm only using those terms because I grew up Catholic too, so I totally get that. And the other idea I came up with, and that's the only other like logic, the only other believable like outside skepticism, and would be something very, very vengeful because he worked in the oil industry. That it was really trying to mess with him. Perhaps the spirit was an environmentalist ghost. I have heard of weird instances of like construction sites being haunted and cursed by natives before because of, you know, that's their land and they don't want it messed with. So that's the only other thing, is maybe he was dealing with something really vengeful. I don't know. But that was.
I've also heard that people tend to lie when like when their job's on the line. So was his job on the line? Did he damage the truck? Was he running late or something like that? Those are, you know, like I would lie for my job. I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Would you tell your job that you were haunted by a ghost?
If that meant that I would keep my job, yes. Yes, I would. That's fair. The ghost of the IT computer.
So in great ghostly fashion, I want to hear your take on the Phantom. Rate the Phantom Hitchhiker story. Do you think that every Phantom Hitchhiker story is made up because of the sheer amount of them, or do you believe that some of them have a potential of being real? Rate it for me, Pat.
0 to 10? Or yeah.
0 being that every Phantom Hitchhiker story is false, and 10 being that every Phantom Hitchhiker story is truth.
I'm going to have to go 0 on this one, Bob. I'm sorry.
So even in the story of Pedro, that's not even going to let you bump up to a 1.
That might, if we were just measuring him, I might.
Let's say the three stories like that, let's say we
it's
have
the more like a 0.75, you know, and the only thing is that I am going with 0 because I'm rounding down. So like I could go a 1, but the Pedro one seems kind of interesting, but then again, I'm not there. You're not there. We don't have the ability to sniff it out a little bit. I mean, I told you about the Amazing Randy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The Amazing Randy offers now $1 million, but I think he's dead now, but offers $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go yeah. Ahead, he offers story. In 1964, he started to offer $10,000 for proof of the paranormal. And it got up to $1 million at one point. And many times people tried to prove these stories, and the Amazing Randy was always able to use scientific evidence to disprove them. Nobody ever got, and it wasn't just him. It was like a panel of people that would, you know, go to investigate, and nobody ever got that $1 million. And if these are true, if Pedro's true, why didn't he go for $1 million?
I can't answer that. Maybe he didn't know that the $1 million thing was up for grabs. I can't answer that for you. Maybe I'll contact Pedro and see if he wants to be interviewed on the show. I'll have to get a translator.
Pedro for president.
That maybe excited two people that New Year. That reference.
Yeah, I actually hate Napoleon Dynamite. That is the worst movie ever made to me. But
jeez. So, being a fan of ghost stories, do you like the trope of the Phantom Hitchhiker?
I do. I do, especially that it has biblical ties. I mean, I'm more Buddhist. I'm.
Are there any phantom? Are there any Phantom Hitchhiker stories in Buddhism, Pat?
maybe a phantom meditating monk on the side of the road. But that's no. I don't know of any in that.
That's fair. I just figured I'd ask.
Yeah, I mean, there. You know what? There are ghost stories though in Buddhism. It would be really interesting if you did an episode on that one day. I would love to hear it.
I'd have to have them, you on for that one. We'll put a pin in that. But
yeah, right. A lot of those ghost stories, though, like are meant to teach you a lesson, and they're like more like a fable would be or something.
Sure.
You know, we don't really believe a zebra is going to get up and start talking, but that teaches us a lesson.
Not yet. Modern science hasn't gotten there yet.
Coronavirus is going to cause zebras to talk. Mark my words, prediction here.
Oh boy. And that's when Pat the skeptic decided to be the Nostradamus of the 2020s.
Hey, I'm a skeptic, but I believe in conspiracy theories big time. I mean, not all of them. I don't go crazy with it, but I believe in a couple.
You believe that zebras are going to talk?
Yes, I believe zebras are going to talk in our lifetime.
Oh boy. Yes. Just zebras, though. No other animal. Just zebras.
I saw a zebra talk once. It was while watching a movie called The Lion King, and there was a zebra that talked in there. And I believe this is that's prophecy.
All right. Before I let you go, before we hang up the episode.
Whoa. I want to hear your rating on that.
Oh, okay. On the Phantom Hitchhiker story, I'm going with a solid 7.
7, okay. That's a pretty big number.
Not a full 10, because I can promise you that some of these are out there trying to draw up tourism reasons.
But is there one that started it all, though?
Yes, there is. There's the whole book out there written by somebody. I don't have it written down. I should have wrote this down. There's a book called The Vanishing Hitchhiker, which chronicles the vanishing hitchhiker kind of trope, tells the origins, especially in biblical times, with the Ethiopian, the Ethiopian hitchhiker.
Yes.
And so, I mean, there's that story begins all the way back then. I do think that there's some, I think that there are some cases that are absolutely true where, like Mary, for example, I buy into Mary 100% that she exists and that she gets in the car with the unsuspecting person and whatever. I believe that story 100%. And I think the Pedro story is interesting. It is.
That's a good one. I got to say, that's good.
Now, Lydia, there may be some truth to it, but the dancing ghost, I am not buying into that one at all, because the dancing ghost of Kentucky, I it's a good story, but that is as classic of a story as it comes.
Yeah.
That is the quintessential. I left the scarf and she's been dead for many years. That is the story.
You know, you said that there was a book, and I would also like to reference a book.
Oh,
it's by Michael Ghose. It's a book called The Evidence for Phantom Hitchhikers. And it's a skeptic's guide to the phantom hitchhikers and the vanishing hitchhikers.
Sounds like a good read, actually.
You know what? I've never read it. I just saw the name. But shout out to Michael Ghose.
Ghost as in G-H-O-S-T is his last name?
No, G-O-S-S.
Oh, Goss. I thought you said ghost.
Goss? I'm like, I did. I said ghost. I mispronounced.
I got excited.
Sorry, Michael. I know we're friends and all. So
I know you guys are – what do you guys call it on Ghostly? Skeptic bros?
Yeah, we're skeptic bros. And that's non-gender specific. That's
good.
You could be a bro if you're a woman, whatever.
We like to call ourselves believers, just straight up believers.
True believers, right?
There's them, there's the skeptical believers, and then there's people like me. I fall in between the skeptical believers and the true believers.
Okay.
I would say that's where I lie. If there's tiers, just like there's tiers of skepticism, there's the, you know, the hopeful skeptic.
Yes.
I would say then there's you.
I am a hopeful skeptic, actually. I really want there to be proof to me. I just haven't seen it.
And that's, you lie right about there.
Yeah.
And then there's the you category. And then at the very bottom, there's the Nick.
Nick Mataragas, yeah.
The Nick skeptic level.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed, really appreciated you coming on, and I really enjoyed the time. Please plug your podcast and your page and your YouTubes. Plug it all, please.
Yeah, so actually, I think Bob actually shared a link today to our latest episode. It's on microclimates, our favorite topic. And we wanted to, so because it being April Fool's Day today, and I know when you get the podcast, it won't be April Fool's, but that's when we're recording. We wanted to do an introduction to the opposites. We wanted to like the Nickelodeon, you can't do that on television show.
Yes.
That Bob's probably only watched in syndication. but we wanted to do like a, you know, kind of opposite that we usually do. So we argued, if microclimates can sometimes be the cold spot that you feel when you have evidence for ghost stories. And Bob did a great job, and it's on YouTube. It's our first ever video episode, so go check it out.
Well, that's amazing. And you can find Ghostly Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast at, or they can find you at ghostlypodcast.com, correct?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for giving my whereabouts.
And then the last thing, and I have a stake in this one as well because I moderate the page, is Ghostly Society. That is my favorite paranormal board on Facebook for the most part. I love Ghostly Society. It's so much fun. It's a place where skeptics and believers can go and have conversations without feeling threatened of one another.
Yeah, so far we haven't had one single fight.
No, and it's really cool to see people's inputs that are from both sides. And I'm one of those people that are a firm believer that skepticism is very important, just like believing is. I am.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. So I mean, Pat get along so much.
Yeah. I mean, we talk microclimates all the time.
All the
time.
That's all
we know how to talk about.
I'll tell Pat that I'm at like a cemetery doing an investigation or something. And I'm like, Pat, I'm surrounded by microclimates.
Yeah. Where was that cemetery? That was Graceland, right?
That was Graceland. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah,
so, man, did you see a lot of stuff there?
I didn't see anything paranormal. I was more asphyxiated on the monuments and stuff because
the history aspect of that place is just amazing.
I went in there thinking I was going to do a paranormal investigation and I did none of it because I was more intrigued by just the everything going on in that place.
Well, when this is all over, this COVID-19 or COVID-2020 or whatever we're going to call it, then maybe me and you can go do it.
Oh, that'd be great. And you could tell me all about microclimates.
And you could tell me all about cold spots.
Thank you so much. All right, Pat, thanks for coming on to the show. Do you have an adjective? Do you have like a proverb or something you'd like to share with the fans out there or anything like that?
Yeah, stay fresh, cheese bags.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And just remember that not all who wander are lost. And the most important thing I could possibly teach you is, as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Good night.